So we're in a series now entitled No Fear. It's a mini-series. It's only 3 weeks long, and then we have a four-week series after that called Defining Moments. But we're just talking about how we can have no fear. We based it on Psalm 46. We read that last week. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains be cast in the sea and the earth is dissolving or begins to dissolve. If the earth starts dissolving and the mountains jump in the ocean, we're not going to have any fear because God is our refuge. And if you weren't here, the reason I used Oreos is because I talked about that we can have other refuges other than God, but none of them work. Any refuge that you have, food, drugs, alcohol, sex, any type of immorality, even our minds can become a refuge, intellectualizing, figuring it out, thinking about it, rationalizing it, self-exaltation, self-promotion. You know, if I don't know if you ever notice this, but you think sometimes you get around someone and you say, you know, sometimes that person just seems to be a braggart. I mean, not all the time, but just sometimes. Well, here's what's happening. That person is going through a difficult time, and he is self-exalting himself. That's his refuge during that time. See? So what we talked about last week was any refuge we have other than God is a bondage and a prison. God is our only refuge and strength. Now, in Numbers 35, God is giving them laws to live by when they enter the promised land. And in Numbers 35, it's a long passage we're going to read today, but I want you to stay with me, all right? And we're not even going to read all of it, but I have highlighted some verses that I want us to read, because it talks about cities of refuge. So, again, let me tell you, it's long. So if you have ADD, stay with me, all right? Numbers 35, verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there." We get the term manslaughter from the Bible. This was written 1,400 years before Christ. Verse 12, "They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." Now he moves from manslaughter to murder, all right? And I'm not going to read all of it. We'll read the first verse. "But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death." Then he goes through, if he strikes him with a stone, if he strikes him with a wooden instrument, if he has enmity in his heart, you know, several laws like that. Now, look down at verse 25. "So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood," which, by the way, is the nearest relative, "and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge," think about that spiritually, "goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood." All right, here are some very detailed things. There were six cities of refuge. There were three on each side of the Jordan. Two in the north, two in the central, two in the south. Israel is about 30 miles wide and about 120 miles long. God designed these cities of refuge so that if you killed someone accidentally, you could get to a city of refuge within a half day's walk, less than a half day's walk. And you'd probably get there even quicker than that. If you'd killed someone, you might be walking very quickly to get there. But what this shows is a couple of things. One, it shows that every person had equal access to refuge. I want you to understand that every person has equal access to God. God doesn't have favorites. Or let me say it another way. He does have favorites, and all of us are His favorites. Every person that comes to Christ is His favorite. God doesn't hear my prayers before He hears your prayers. We all have equal access to God. But here's another thing that it shows. It is extremely detailed because God wants you to know that He cares about every detail of your life. There's no detail of your life that God doesn't care about. And that's why, if you've ever wondered why Leviticus and Numbers are so detailed, it's because God cares about every detail. Another reason they're so detailed is because God gave detailed laws so that sinful people could live in harmony. Because once sin came in the world, God had to then give us detailed laws so we could live in harmony. But we want to talk about refuge. So I want to talk to you about the rules of refuge. Last week we talked about the results of refuge. This week, the rules of refuge. And there are only two rules of refuge according to Numbers 35. Here's number one. Refuge is for the righteous. Refuge is for the righteous. God said, if you want to get your prayers answered, if you want to live in peace, if you want to live in safety, if you want to live in protection, then refuge is for the righteous. Refuge is not for the person who wants to continue in his sin. Refuge is not for the person that says, I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. I like my sin. I'm going to stay in my sin. Let me explain something to you. You're not protected. You're not living under God's protection if you do that. So refuge is only for the righteous. Now, when I say refuge is for the righteous, I know what thought is in your mind right now. Refuge is for the righteous. Okay, here's the thought you're probably having. Uh-oh. If refuge is only for the righteous, I'm in trouble. Well, let me explain to you the definition of righteousness from the Bible. The definition of righteousness from the Bible is right standing with God. Not right acting, right standing. In other words, none of us are perfect. But God, by His grace, causes us to be in right standing with Him. So, let me explain this. Well, obviously, when we come to Christ, we're in right standing with God. But even as a believer, we can sin, we can persist in sin, we can run away from God. And what you need to understand is when, even as a believer, when you persist in sin, you are leaving the city of refuge. You're going out on your own and you can get in trouble. Let me give you an example. Last week we talked about food, and I'm not going to talk about food again this week, but let's talk about tithing for a moment. A person could say who's a believer, I don't believe in tithing. That's just a scam for the church to get your money. We're under grace, not law. That's Old Testament. Whatever you want to rationalize, obviously you don't really understand Scripture, because tithing was 2,500 years before the law. And Jesus Himself said you ought to tithe. Matthew 23:23, if you want to look it up. It's in red. So to rationalize it away, just in case you're hung up on red. I told you before, you know the difference between red and black in the Bible. Red means Jesus said it. Black means Jesus said it. Red means Jesus said it in His incarnate form when He was on this earth. Black means that He said it through His Holy Spirit. But He still said it all. The whole book's the Bible. But some people do get hung up on red, so that's in red, by the way. All right. Here's the point, though. God says, if you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Okay. When you don't tithe, you willingly, intentionally, take yourself out of the city of refuge and your finances and your family. And then when something happens, here's what people do. Blame God. They blame God for God not protecting their finances, protecting their income, protecting their job. And yet you willingly walked out of the city of refuge. I was talking to a person a while back who'd had some difficulties financially and several catastrophes just all in a row. And so I said to the person in a very loving way, but I said, I just need to know something. Are you tithing? Are you tithing? And she said, no, I'm not. And then she said this, and this is a misconception many people have. She said, I know God's getting me for not tithing. Okay, listen to me. That's not true. That's not true. God's not getting you. The devil's getting you. He's the devourer. God's not the devourer. But what's happened is when you don't tithe, you walk out from under God's protection. You understand what I'm saying? You leave the city of refuge and you get caught and He kills you in that area. And I don't know if you noticed, by the way, but the devourer is good at devouring. Have any of you noticed that? He can devour a few $1,000s pretty quickly. Just like that. So you've got to keep your life, every area of your life, in the city of refuge. And that's the problem. If we're walking in sin, we're not walking in righteousness. Think about this. A guy that goes to work and he's doing a good job and he shows up on time and he's doing what's expected of him and he's walking in integrity. Doesn't mean he's doing everything perfectly, but he's walking in integrity. And his assistant comes to him and says, the boss wants to see you. Well, there's no fear in his heart. He walks down the office because he's doing the right thing. He's doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And if he has a righteous boss, he has no fear in his heart. But what about the guy that's not doing his job, coming in late, sneaking around, looking at pornography on the internet, padding his expense account? What happens when his assistant comes in and says, the boss wants to see you? And especially, what about if it's Friday afternoon and she says, first thing Monday morning? What's his weekend going to be like? Fear. Because he is not walking in righteousness. That is what this is about in Numbers 35. Refuge is walking in righteousness. It is walking with a pure heart saying, God, as far as I know, I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. So that's the first rule. It's a real simple rule. Here's the second rule. Refuge is not for the rebellious. I understand these could be redundant points, but I think it's important that we look at it this way. Refuge is for the righteous. It is not for the rebellious. Here's what Isaiah 48:22 says. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There's no peace. I'm telling you, even if you're a believer, if you're going to walk in wickedness and in sin, you're not going to have peace. You will have no peace. Here's another way to say that. There is no refuge. There's no refuge. There's no peace. There's no happiness. There's no joy. There's no protection, says the Lord, for the wicked. And here's what he said is going to happen. You leave the city, the avenger is going to catch you. Now, don't answer this question out loud because you'll probably get it wrong. He said, if you leave the city, the avenger will catch you. Who's the avenger? Now, don't answer it out loud. Who's the avenger? Okay, now, this is going to shock you. And let me tell you a little bit about the avenger, first of all. The avenger is executing righteousness and judgment. The avenger is right in the judgment he executes. You know who the avenger is? It's God. Now listen to me. Matter of fact, I'll prove it to you with a verse that all of you know. You ready for this one? You can finish the verse for me. Vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You say, well, now wait a minute. You said a moment ago when we're not tithing, it's the devil that gets us. Listen to me carefully. You're being chased by two people when you run away from God. God is chasing you as a loving father trying to get you back in the city of refuge. And God is the avenger. Satan is the revenger. God is trying to bring righteousness into the situation. Satan is trying to bring destruction into the situation. There's a difference between vengeance and revengeance. Satan is a false avenger. He's a false comforter. We've talked about this before. The Bible says he masquerades as an angel of light. In other words, he pretends to be a comforter. And who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. He pretends to comfort you, but he's actually a tormentor. Okay, he pretends like he's an avenger, but he's actually a revenger. See, God acquits. Satan accuses. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. God acquits, Satan accuses. God convicts, he convicts, but Satan condemns. Satan is after you, and he is chasing you. You must understand this. It would be like a little boy that has a good father, a really good father, who's strong and who protects him and who is righteous, and the little boy accidentally breaks a window and of a drunken, violent man, and the drunken, violent man begins to chase him. Well, the father of the little boy is chasing him too. What's he doing? He's trying to catch him and get him back to safety before the violent man catches him. I'm telling you, you need to understand that if you're running from God, God is running after you. And he wants to catch you and get you back in the refuge before the false avenger catches you. And he's trying to kill you. And by the way, I've never understood this concept, running from God. Before we talk about it, let me just remind you of a theological truth. And just think about this when we talk about running from God. Remember the theological truth that God is omnipresent? He's everywhere. Okay, here's what that means. No matter how fast and how far you run, when you stop to take a breath, he's standing right there. Just run as fast and as far as you can, and as soon as you take a breath, God's going to be right there. He's everywhere. You can't get away from Him. But in His love, He will chase you because He doesn't want you to be caught by the thief who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. Let me show you another scripture, Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, come back to the city of refuge, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Now this is God talking again. Therefore you shall flee. And then you said, we will ride on swift horses. God says, therefore those who pursue you will be swift. See, here's what it is. God says, come back. Come back to the city of refuge. Come back to me. Our God is our refuge and strength. Come back to me. And you say, no, I'm going to run. And God said, okay, you will run then. And you say, well, I'm going to run fast. And God says, okay, those who chase you are going to run fast too. Don't do it. See, you have a choice when you break the window to run to the drunk violent man or to run to the good father. And as soon as you do it, this is what God is saying. When you make a mistake, you get to that city of refuge as quickly as you can. Let me tell you what He's telling us. When you make a mistake, you get to the throne of grace as quickly as you can. Because if you don't get there quickly, someone's going to catch you and he's going to kill you because you're open prey when you leave the city of refuge. You know, righteous and rebellious. We're talking about those two things. God is righteous. Satan is rebellious. God's angels are righteous. Satan's angels, he has angels, are rebellious. The Bible says that God makes His angels ministering spirits. Okay, let me just ask something. Who do you want ministering to you? You want God's angels ministering to you, protecting you? Or do you want Satan's angels ministering to you, trying to kill you? If you run from God, listen, you're going to be physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially exhausted because Satan's going to pursue you every step of the way. Now, look at Psalm 24. Let me show you one more thing about this. Psalm 24, remember, refuge is a high, safe place. It's a high, safe place. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend, let's go up to the high, safe place, ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing, protection, all that, from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Okay, who can go into the refuge of God? Clean hands, pure heart, not doesn't have an idol, not swearing deceitfully. All right, let me explain this to you. Clean hands refers to my relationship with you. Pure heart refers to my relationship with me, how I treat me. Idol and not swearing deceitfully refers to how I treat God. And let me tell you why I say that, all right? Clean hands refers to there's no blood on my hands. I'm not murdering a brother. The Bible says when you speak against someone, you hate someone, it's like murdering. I'm not murdering people. I'm not treating you wrong. I'm not treating my family wrong. It is amazing to me how many people disassociate their relationship with God with their relationship with others. And you can't do it according to the Bible. You cannot treat people badly and still have a good relationship with God. You can't do it. Pure heart refers to how I'm treating myself. In other words, how do I feel? Am I being honest about my sin? Am I being honest about what my refuge is? Or am I trying to deceive myself? Do I really have a pure heart before God? And not swearing deceitfully, not having an idol in my life, refers to how I treat God. I have no other gods before you. God, I'm telling you as honestly as I can, you are my refuge and my strength. Food is not my refuge and I renounce it. Money is not my refuge, I renounce it. Drugs are not my refuge. Alcohol is not my refuge. My mind is not my refuge. My gifts, my strengths, my abilities, I trust in you. And when we do, we can ascend into the refuge. Now, one more thing I want to show you about this passage in Numbers 35. It uses the word avenger. It's a Hebrew word, and I'm not going to pronounce it for you. I know I pronounce a lot of the Greek words for you, but when you pronounce Hebrew, you have to go, and then these people get all soaked down here. So I'm not going to do that for you, all right? But this is a very well-known Hebrew word. And this Hebrew word is in the Old Testament 104 times. 104 times. Only 12 times, though, is it translated avenger. Every other time it's translated one other word. Only 12 times avenger. And that, both, all those times are referring to the cities of refuge. 92 other times when it's translated. Now listen to me carefully. Because I told you a moment ago who the avenger was. Who's the avenger? The one that executes righteousness? Who? God. Okay, listen to me. This word is actually the main Hebrew word for redeemer. And everywhere else in the Bible it's translated redeemer. Do you know what this tells me? See, it refers to the near kinsman. As a matter of fact, he's called in Ruth the near kinsman redeemer. Now listen to me. The one who has the right to execute judgment on you actually became your redeemer. Your judge is the one who died in your place. Here's what I'm saying. God is my refuge and strength. This passage talks about those who sin unintentionally and those who sin intentionally. Now, listen to me. I hate to admit it, but I've done both. And so have you. We've all sinned unintentionally, and we've all known it was wrong and still did it. And the one who judges us actually redeemed us. And he paid the price. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.